Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be with you again today. Great to see you. Today we kind of find ourselves at the midpoint in our Lenten journey, that we've already had two Sundays. This is our third Sunday, and we have three more Sundays to go, and then it'll be Easter. And I hope that you're finding this time, you're finding ways to grow deeper in your relationship with God as well. You know, 2 weeks ago when we started this time together, we talked about how Jesus was our example, and that he's the example, and we follow after him. We follow his actions, his example. Last week we talked about Jesus being our equipper, and we saw how Matthew, the tax collector, was a very unlikely follower, very unlikely disciple, and that when Jesus calls us, he then equips us for this adventure of ministry and mission that he's called us to. And today, we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be learning about how, since now we've been given the example and we have been equipped for the task, that we have to make Jesus our choice, that we need to make Jesus our choice. You know, despite our seemingly advanced society in the world today, there are lots of things that we simply don't understand how they work. Right? We really don't understand still how our brains work. We don't understand a good bit of about our universe, and there are vast numbers of diseases that are still a mystery to us. But even though we don't know how these things work, we can make decisions about these things because we know how they do work. And I heard recently somebody had said to me that exercising would be good for decision making. And so I found this to be true. I went out for a run this morning and I decided I was never going to do that again. In our passage today, so come out to the youth gala. There'll be lots of good stuff like that. Well, anyways, in our passage today, Jesus uses a familiar analogy to explain to us the kingdom of God. You know, God does lots of different things, and we may not always understand how he does them. The good news is that we don't have to understand. We don't have to be explain how things happen. We just have to know that they do. Right, that we know that God works among us. And even though there aren't a lot of things that we may understand, we can live in the light of what we do understand. And the more we follow closely our Lord's teaching, the more understanding will grow in him as well. And Jesus starts this passage by talking about light and understanding, and it says, then Jesus asked him, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is to be placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that will be hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and everything secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears should listen and understand. You know, Mark records this discussion about hiding your light under a basket immediately following this passage where he talks about the parable of the sower, about how this man goes out into the field and just begins scattering seed to his left and to his right. Jesus talked about how much that good seed or good soil, how much fruit it will bear. And it seems likely that Mark was trying to remind us that as part of our jobs as Jesus' disciples, as part of our jobs as being light bearers, right, we're to hold it up and we're to share it with the world. That we shouldn't try to take our light and hide it, but we need to make sure that our light is shining clearly so that other people will know the way. Other people will be able to come and to know Jesus. But Jesus also tells us the downside of this, that light draws attention to things that are hidden in the darkness. In other words, that when we are standing for Christ's teachings, we begin to see things about ourselves that that shouldn't be. Right? That as we're being illuminated by the light of the Holy Spirit, that light that goes out also comes on us, and we begin to recognize or see things in us that perhaps shouldn't be there. Mark begins his gospel with these words. He says, "The time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." And I believe that Jesus is saying that the time has come. The time has come not just for Jesus to preach and heal, but also a time for us to make up our minds. That when we see just how sinful we are and how far we are away from God's standards, we are faced with a choice. And Jesus tells us to live in a way that is very different than our worlds today. And because these truths seem both difficult to accept and unpopular in our world, we might be tempted to hide our light. We might be tempted even to extinguish the light. We as Christians should be bold in our proclaiming of the gospel, proclaiming about our faith, and pointing people to the truth of God's word. All at the same time, remembering that not everybody wants to hear these things. This means that we may be persecuted for proclaiming the truth. We might face a little kickback. People will call us mean and insensitive and bigoted and arrogant and lots of other things. And we should work hard to ensure that none of those things, that we're not any of those things, but rather that when we are shining our light, we are speaking the truth in love. Even though the gospel message is good news, it's not what many people want to hear. And that leads us to Jesus' teachings in verses 24 and 25 of Mark 4. Then Jesus added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." And Jesus is saying at this point, right, the measure of one's listening will be the measure of one's learning. That the closer you listen, the more understanding you gain. But that those who refuse to listen will lose even the little bit of understanding they may have. And what is Jesus trying to say with this statement? I think there's a couple aspects here that we need to see and understand. First is that Jesus is telling us that we can only grow by listening to his teaching. And when Jesus speaks of listening to his teaching, he does not merely mean that we should be able to repeat it. Rather, he is saying that we must work to understand it and then put it into practice. And teachers understand that in order for lessons to be learned, Teachers understand that there is an order that lessons need to be learned in. That's what I want to say. You can't teach someone Shakespeare until they've learned how to read. And a person who hasn't even learned their letters yet isn't ready to study Romeo and Juliet. And the same is true with our faith. That often we cannot move on to the next lesson that God has for us until we have learned the lesson he is teaching us right now. Because we're simply not ready. That if we want to grow in our faith, we must do the hard work of wrestling with God's word and putting it into practice. Right? This is the only way we are going to grow. Now, the second aspect of what Jesus is saying is that those who don't listen will lose even what understanding that they have. And it almost seems counterintuitive to us. Why would God take away someone's understanding? But if we really think about it, we see this practice in play even in our world today. We see it with the facts that we learned in school but haven't used in years. Right? If you don't use your knowledge, you use it. I don't know how many people here took higher level math. Anybody here take calculus? A few folks. Do you remember any calculus? Like, you know, I was very discouraged when I talked to Derek Pettner, who's an engineer. I'm like, do you use calculus a lot? And he goes, absolutely not. What are we teaching that stuff for? I don't remember, you know, math. My spelling is terrible. Spell check has ruined me. I don't have to worry about spelling because my computer always knows how to spell it correctly and it can interpret my words. It's incredible. But when we choose to ignore or even worse, suppress what God has revealed to us, we're left groping in the dark for answers. As such, when we do things like that, we're trying to make sense of the world without having to submit to God. I mean, you can think about it, all the different ways we see this in our society today. Modern science says that everything can and must be clearly explained only by natural processes. Evolution has become the central dogma of scientific inquiry, and so if you even begin to talk about God or intelligent design, many people will simply turn their nose. They don't even want to hear it. Same things happened with morality. Our society rejects the idea that God has laid down certain laws, that this is the way that we ought to live, because we don't want anybody telling us how we should live. Their solution is simply to declare that each person must determine their truth for themselves. And so in our world today, everything is acceptable, even those things that are harmful to individuals and society as a whole. There is no standard of truth, so we must affirm every position, even if it's a nonsensical position. This is what happens when people choose to ignore God's command. If we embrace the darkness instead of the light, we will simply descend further and further in the darkness. But little understanding we have will be taken away. And we see this in our society, but church, I believe we need to look inward and see if we can see it in here. We know that when God tells us that we are to live one way and we choose to live the other way, we grow distant from God. And when we coast in our faith, rather than trying to grow and learn and understand, we will only drift away. Because you can only coast in one direction. You can't coast upwards. You can only coast downwards. You know, Jesus' words in these verses remind us that we need to share the truth of God's word with the world. And we need to start by embracing it ourselves. And the only way for us to grow in our faith in holiness is to take God's instructions to heart. And the only way for us to change the world is to point them to the light, which is Jesus Christ. Not everybody will embrace the truth. In fact, many will oppose it, but Jesus is the only hope for our world. And so let us make sure that we are not covering up the light in our lives. Let's make sure that we're allowing that light to peer deep inside of us as well.